It seems a little early to preach on Luke 2. As someone that's like, we got to get through Thanksgiving before any Christmas stuff comes up, it seems odd that I'd be the one to preach on Luke before we actually even get into Advent even. But as I was preparing for this upcoming Bible study about Advent, there's a chapter in a book that I read to prepare for this that just clutched me in a way that hasn't in the past. In Luke 2, and we're going to read it here, is the angels worshipped. There's all this stuff going on, and the angels worshipped. So I know we're coming through Thanksgiving, and Advent is coming, and then Christmas, that we celebrate Jesus' arrival. Do you know it's 35 days away? And you know there's a calculator? If you Google how many days till Christmas calculator, you can put in any date that you want. We love Christmas. And now I've lost most of the crowd thinking about your lists. Christmas gifts, food, you got Thanksgiving dinner coming up, you've got Christmas dinners, and oh, the pies. Those pies get me. I can resist a lot of sugar, but pies, it's hopeless. There goes more of the crowd thinking about pies. whipped cream. Lists of decorations, other preparations, so much to do when we think about the holidays. So much to do. So much so where people are like, oh, I'm not even doing that this year. There's so much to do. We fill up so many things from this week to the end of the year, don't we? We're so tired by the time the new year comes, we're not even, that's why maybe we don't do resolutions. There's like a small percentage that we get there. We're tired by the time it comes around for a resolution. It's so easy for us to get caught up into things and the to-do list. So easy for us to get fixated on the details. It's so easy if you're like me that you're looking at one list and you get distracted by another list and then you get distracted by another list that you need to like make or follow. Which all this stuff isn't bad stuff, but it can lead to stress, anxiety, frustration. It could lead to losing our focus on what the actual meaning of what happens in 35 days is. I have a tip for us today, and I led with this. The angels worshipped. The angels worshipped. When there was no inn, when there was no trained medical professional on site, when there was Joseph and Mary were tired from their travels, when there was no Christmas dinner waiting for them, when there was no anticipated gifts that they would receive, the angels worshipped. Now these angels throughout the Bible, they bring food to people sometimes. Sometimes they show up for a meal. That's the kind of angel I want to be, where I show up and then like, oh, there's a person at the door and then somebody makes food for me. Like, that's the angel. But the angels were doing stuff. They brought messages of no fear all the time. But in this circumstance, when you're looking at these two individuals, Joseph and Mary, traveling, no place to stay, no dinner waiting, about to have this baby, the angels worshipped. They sat in the meaning of what it is that this baby Jesus was being born. So let's read Luke 2, 8 through 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Glory to God in the highest heaven. The angels worship what put God at the center of Jesus' birth, inspired the shepherds to be witnesses to many, as well as to instill hope and remembrance in Mary's heart. They did not bring gifts or attempt to solve any of the problems that we talked about before. They worshiped. Worship transcends circumstance. It's all about giving God the glory. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give the Lord the glory that is due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Worship God in the beauty of God's holiness. In the midst of uncomfortable and uncertainty, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, has descended upon the earth in the form of a baby because of God. Because of God's love for each of us and a longing to be in relationship with each one of us. Not just your neighbor to the left or to the right. To each of us. Loves you so much and longs to have a relationship with you. Worship can be described as an encounter with God. Isn't that cool? We're encountering God. When we just sang those songs, we had an encounter with God. When you sit in the midst and you allow God to come, you encounter God, and you praise God, you revere God, you bow down to God. In John chapter 4, a Samaritan woman is at the well, and she's getting water in the middle of the day, and Jesus shows up. No one else is around her. And they have this conversation, and it's a pretty cool conversation. I encourage you to go read it. I was going to read it this morning, but we got way too much to cover. But go back, John 4. And really read the discussion, because it is a two-way conversation with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And during that conversation, during their chat, she asks a question about worship. I'm going to read just a snippet of it, but I encourage you to read the whole thing. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship while we Samaritans claim it is here in Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped?" So she's asking Jesus about worship. What is worship and why is it different for different people? And at that time, it kind of was. And there was this, like, Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, who actually gets God kind of thing. Jesus comes and reconciles that. Different sermon. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. But the time is coming, and indeed the time is now, church, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God is spirit. So those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth." And what does that mean? Let's find out. Worship in spirit. We have become temples of the living God. That's in 2 Corinthians 6. 6, not the 6th. 2 Corinthians 6, if you want to check that out. We've become the temples of God. Jesus reconciled us to God, bringing us the Holy Spirit, allowing us to be a dwelling place for God. Ephesians 2:17 through 22 speaks of this. To be in spirit is to open yourself to God. Be vulnerable before God. Allow God to move in your heart and your soul. Paraphrasing Ephesians. I wasn't going to read it, but I feel like we should read that one and not just Pastor Tosh's paraphrase. So Ephesians 2:17 through 22. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house. Together we are his house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit. So to be in worship in spirit is to recognize that you're already a dwelling place for God and allowing yourself to be vulnerable. And that's difficult in our society. But if you're going to be vulnerable in front of anybody, be vulnerable in front of God. Allow God to move in your heart and soul. That's worshiping in the Spirit. Worshiping in the truth. Do not worship other gods. We've heard about that, the thing called the Ten Commandments. Do not worship other gods. You must worship only the Lord your God, the only one who can rescue you. And that is paraphrased from instructions from a priest in 2 Kings 17. There's about 10 or 15 verses about that. Do not worship other gods. And that doesn't just mean Zeus. We've got a lot of little g gods in our life sometimes. It's basically anything that distracts you and you put more energy towards than God. That could be a god that you're worshiping. And part of that is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength too. To worship in truth is to put God first and to give it your all. That's what that means. Love with your all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, and all your soul. Worship can be an act and it can be a lifestyle. It can be conducted alone or in a group. It can occur at any time and any place, in any mood, or any circumstance. It glorifies God, but it also inspires us. It moves us into a place of hope if we need it. It brings joy and refreshment. It always amazes me how focusing and putting God first fulfills me and fulfills us. It shouldn't astonish me every time that if I give to God, then I get back, because God is God and that's just what God does. But it does every time. And it shouldn't, because we're literally designed by God to be in relationship with God and to worship God. But it gets me every time. Because why would we have this God that asks us to do stuff for God, asks us to worship God, asks us to spend time, and then I get the benefit of it? We all get the benefit of it? That God is just always spreading everything, never keeping stuff to just God's self. Gets me every time. The angels worshiped instead of anything else. They worshiped. Glory to God in the highest heaven, they shouted. A whole choir came. Glory to God in the highest heaven. They worship putting God in the center, setting off a domino effect by praising the one and only worthy of our praise. God was worshipped as God should be. The shepherds were inspired and spread the word. They spread the message throughout the land. Mary was sustained. The impact of worship is immeasurable. We cannot fathom the full impact, but we benefit from it. As we get out of focusing on ourselves, out of focusing on our circumstances, and instead move into the presence of God, deep into our souls, have an encounter with God. With God, we get to encounter God. Make worship a priority this holiday season. Ensure there's time for worship in your lists. And I would encourage you to ensure that is individually and that is collectively done. Because both of those things have a whole different kind of thing to feeling to it, and they work together. Don't just worship on a Sunday morning when you come to church. It's fantastic, and I love it, and this is one of my favorite places to be. Jamie will tell you, like, the bubbly side of me comes out on Sunday morning almost to an irritating state sometimes, because it is like one of my favorite places to be. I'm not like this on Mondays, I'll tell you that. Make sure you put it in your to-do list throughout this holiday season. Worship. Worship the Lord. Individually, find time individually to pray and to worship. And those are two different things too, but they go together. Pray and worship. And then make sure you worship collectively. The angels worshiped. The angels worshiped. There's these big beings. And what they brought to Jesus' birth was to worship and to set off a domino effect. And if we bring more worship into our lives, think about the domino effect. That would be immeasurable, the domino effect of what worship can do.